Amen. Thank you, Father. Oh, gosh. How do I do that? Okay, got it. All right, Lord, we just praise you and we thank you for leading us and guiding us tonight into the things that you would have us to talk about, whatever it is that you want us to do, Lord. We just relinquish the floor to you and let you allow you to lead and guide us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for being our God. In Jesus' name, Father, just place it in our hearts to seek you with all of our hearts. Nothing be distracting. Our time with you. And Lord, I know it in the past, it's always been one distraction right after another, and we relinquish to that. But Lord, now it's time to come and give our whole self to you, Father. And we praise you and we thank you for placing it in our heart and giving us the wherewithal to do that. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for a great and wonderful time tonight with my brothers and sisters in fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord, for bringing down the deep state. Thank you, Father, for exposing all the corruption in each state, not just Minnesota, but in each state that these fraudulent schemes are popping up. We praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. All right, anybody else got a prayer? Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
Yes, I do. I've been living here quite a while, and I know I'm going to be moving out of here one day real soon, praise the Lord. But I know I asked the Lord for to keep this place as long as I'm here, that there wouldn't be any major work done or maintenance, and you know, keep my appliance and all that stuff. They can do whatever they want after I'm gone. Well, today I noticed that there's a water leak. I noticed there's spots. You can see where the water has been come through and has left the water marks on my ceiling in my dining room. So I called it in, let them know about it. And of course, we have the holidays, you know, this weekend and everything, you know, New Year's and all that stuff. So they have their priorities and what they want to do and need to get done before all that, when they shut down for, you know, 3 or 4 days. But I know you can do anything, Lord. So I just want to pray that Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you, God, for your goodness. And I thank you, you heard my prayers, and there's a reason for everything. And I know they do their due diligence, and they have people come out and inspect the roofs and everything yearly. And for some reason, I've got a leak. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that it is a very, very tiny and slow leak. And that's why it's just now showing up, because we've had rain. And by your grace and all, Lord, we're going to get more rain here starting tomorrow and off and on through next week. So, Lord, thank you for all the rain, because we certainly need it down here. And I just pray, Father, that they will get somebody out here sooner rather than later, find the leak in the roof or in my attic, whatever they have to do, crawl up there and find it and fix it, or whatever they got to do short term. And in the name of Jesus, and I thank you, Lord, I just ask, God, for your favor greatly. And I just command the angels to put a shield over my roof where it's leaking, that it's not going to cause any more damage, and it's certainly not going to rain through my dining room ceiling. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Amen. All right, Missy, go ahead.
I agree with Julie. I was going to pray some of what you said at the end, but I just want to add one thing, that the angels are going to do that, and she's not going to have to put any buckets down, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I've only got a couple things I could probably use besides when I get my pots and pans out, and a bucket, maybe two buckets. But I'm not going to have to do that. I already thought about that. I'm like, no, I'm not going to have to get that stuff out and plan for that. Lord, you're faithful. Amen. You're faithful, and you won't fail me. And I thank you, Lord. You answer every prayer of agreement. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing the maintenance here and whoever they're going to send out to fix this thing. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. All right, anyone else? Has anybody got a
And
favorite
Michael,
song?
just checking. I'm sorry, Michael, I'm just checking. Is your microphone on there? Oh,
Maybe I'm
okay.
not close enough. Can you hear me better
That,
now?
yeah, that helps a great deal. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Has anybody got a good song that they'd like to play? Okay. I gave you a chance.
What do you got? You got something?
I'm fixing to have.
Hi, Nick. I haven't seen you all day.
Do what?
I was just saying hi to Nick. I haven't seen him all day.
Okay. All right, I got a good one here. What happened? Oh, that's the wrong one. Can you see yourself? Oh, gosh. Somebody else find something. I'm having a little trouble here with this thing. Go ahead, Julie.
Pat just put one up.
Who?
Pat, that's a good song.
All right, Pat, go ahead, put it up.
What do you mean, put it up?
Well,
You want me to
Barbara
play it?
said that you've got one, yeah.
I put it in the chat.
I can play it. I'll share it.
Go ahead, Julie.
Free, he left.
Yeah, I like that. That was a good one. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to pray about? You know, I've been thinking this afternoon, what did it take for Enoch to walk with God, and he was, and then he was not? Can y'all hear me okay? What did it take for Moses to shine like a light after he was with the Lord? What would it take for us to get out of the normal Christian life and get into the extra normal position of knowing God personally in a way that power exudes from you, light exudes from you, love exudes from you, just like Jesus? What does it take for all of us to get out of the normal Christian, I don't know how you say it, the average Christian life, and get into the place where God really wants us? Yeah, Julie.
Well, if it can be done, I would say it's just devotion and just making God first and just being able to, hole up in the Lord for, every day for a period of time and just getting, seeking his face, crying out to that your heart's desires for him and shutting everything else out. And of course it's his grace, and just being separate, sanctification, separate from sin, separate from people that would be any or anything that would be a distraction, not just people, but anything that would be a distraction. And I was thinking in like sanctification before blessing. I mean, the blessings are coming and it's God's grace and it's going to be pouring out of his spirit. And just making yourself accessible and available, and I'm your property, right? He purchased me, and to make myself available to him to use me and to be willing. And I mean, it's not up to me anyway. It's all his grace and it's all his plan and it's all his sovereignty. And but yeah, just keep hungering and thirsting after him and running after him and saying no to everything else. Things just overcoming our flesh, Michael, in the world, right?
So, what you're saying is nothing else matters but just running after him with our whole heart.
Essentially, yeah.
That's,
Keep doing it and keep doing it.
okay. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, Missy.
Yeah, it's funny. I was kind of thinking about sharing something when you said that, Michael. I was like, okay. I've really been tested, tried, tempted, whatever you want to say, with a particular area with my flesh, and it's something that keeps coming back and being tested. And I just really been in a battle with it lately, and I sat down today and I was just, spending time with the Lord and just saying, no, I'm not gonna go there. I'm not gonna, and it's not that I can really do it of myself, Lord, give me the grace to sit down and say no to my flesh I am dead, confess the word. I'm dead in sin, alive in God. I don't live anymore. Christ lives in me. The flesh is of this world. And the flesh serves Satan. I don't serve Satan. I'm dead. And what helps, it was just like today was such a reminder, and I was so happy and just felt so joyful and just I sat down, I was really in the Word, and just the Lord was just bringing different scriptures to my mind, and I was going and write and looking them up and writing them down and all, and that just it's me getting in the Word and renewing my mind, because it starts in my mind. I think probably everybody else can say that. The battle is in the mind first and foremost. And yeah, it was so good. And one of the scriptures that the Lord brought to me today, and it's so good. And I was reading it, and it was just like, it's like when the Lord reminds you of the scripture, I'm not real familiar with it, but a piece of it came to my mind, and so I went and I looked it up, and it's Isaiah 55, starting in verse 1. Maybe I'll read it out of my Bible instead of what I have written here, because I might go further. Isaiah 55. Okay. Ho, everyone that thirst, come you to the waters, and he that has no money, come you buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let not your soul delight itself in and let your soul, I'm sorry, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And I looked that up, what all that means, and I think what it means here from what the Strong said is blessing and being blessed or whatever. Anyway, incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander to the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you know not, and a nation that knew not you shall run unto you because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, and gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in that thing whereto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Boy, I read a whole chapter. But it's such a good chapter. Praise the Lord. And it's just our self. It's myself, my flesh, you know? And just I found that just to try and do battle and confessing the word isn't good enough. I have to actually get into the word and read it. And that really, it just drives out, it just drives the enemy right out of my mind. It drives the en my, you know, the mind of the flesh goes and the mind of the spirit, you know, it's, I, you know, my mind is renewed, and that battle isn't there in my mind anymore, the attacks on my mind. So praise the Lord. I just wanted to share that, and I think that is just such a major part of just, you know, I know, like David in the Psalms says about meditating on his word day and night, you know. And I know I can't do that unless I'm in his word enough, you know, thinking about what I read, you know, all day long, portions of it. And it was just had a great day, and I hear the Lord more and just feel at peace, and can be guided and directed by him, you know. And I mean, that's the most important thing for me, is just to know that the Lord's always there guiding me and directing me. And what more do I need? You know, if I'm following him and listening to him, you know, and talking to him through the day, you know. Lord, if I get off, my mind goes astray, get me back on course, you know, whatever. But it's just having that relationship with the Lord. And I can't have that without the word, because Jesus is the word made flesh. And his word is spirit and life. It's the, you know, this life is so temporal. Everything, you know, is gonna burn up. You know, everything is corrupt. It's vanity. It's all gonna, you know, I have a father that's given me everything. I have an inheritance in Jesus, and he is all I need. He's everything I need. He has the answers, and he is the answer. And he is salvation. And I just praise him and thank him. Just praise you and thank
Amen.
you, Lord. Love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Benita. Thank you, Missy.
Yeah, when you asked that question, you know, of course we're all thinking, what is it? And what came to me was, you know, we're all sitting here out of from all these different churches we've all come out of, and I just praise the Lord for that. I mean, there's nothing that drew me out because I don't know, it was just the Lord that drew me out. I mean, everybody else is still at the church. They're all still there learning what they're learning, not having the revelations, and yet he's drawn us out. And it's not anything that I was able to, I don't, I don't know why me, you know, but we all say that. How did he pull me out of that big church and just me and everybody else is still there? And it's not anything of me. It's just the Lord drew me out. He drew us out, and it's all him. And I just had the craziest dream 2 nights ago of my old church. All these people, we were all together and talking. I can't remember all the details, but one detail, for some reason, this detail stuck with me. Our pastor's wife was there, and it was her birthday, and she was all excited, and she's like, "Yeah, Rob got me this gift. He bought me a new car." I'm like, "Wow, you know, that's pretty cool. He bought you a new car. What kind is it?" "Well, it's a Ford Mustang convertible." I'm like, "Wow." It just struck me as so, I don't know, not that we can't drive Ford Mustang convertibles, but it was just a desire of the flesh that just seemed very fleshly to me. And I don't know, just I think one of the great things about this of David's ministry, and you know, you and David, Michael, is that, you know, somebody said to me the other day, "Well, look at this pastor and that pastor and this big pastor. They've got so much money and they give so much money and they're doing, you know, they're millionaires." I'm like, "Yeah, but they are. But I have David and Michael to follow. They don't have that. I mean, they're like Jesus, you know. They don't have to teach at a pulpit with a suit on. That's not what it's about. They're like Jesus." And that's such a huge influence on me. And how I think now, I think back, you know, being in the church, it's like, yeah, you know, we all dressed up and went to church and blah, 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 sat there and listened. And it's like night and day where I'm at now. And when somebody says, you know, it's not bad to have this, it's not bad to have these desires to own this and own that. And I just think, I'm so far. I mean, I'm nowhere, but I'm beyond a little bit beyond that. You know, I still have all these desires, but I can see the difference now. I don't know. I mean, even our neighbor, he just went to college. He's studying theology. He goes to a Baptist church. And guess what kind of car he bought before he drove down there? He got a nice, dark, bright blue Camaro. I'm like, "What? You're going to be a pastor?" I don't know. Not that you can't have a blue Camaro, but I don't know. There's just something about it that I like Michael's broken down truck and my broken down
I
car and
don't have a
everybody, you
broken down truck.
know. Sorry. I didn't mean it that way.
Confessing that. Bless God. Thank you, Lord, for my new truck coming.
Yes, yep. But I mean, just the example that you guys are, you know, it really has blessed me so much to have that example and just to be able to see that that is how Christ, that when you really look at the Bible and don't follow those other people and their teachings and their lives, when you really read it, that, I mean, Jesus didn't have anything. The apostles did. They didn't live that way. And so he draws us, I guess, to answer your question from my perspective is, I mean, it's just all him. I like Missy was saying, you know, I've got this thing in my flesh that just eats away at me, and sometimes I just break down and I'm like, "Gosh, this is so hard." But then I come out of that and I'm like, "Okay, Lord, I don't mean to complain. I'm not complaining. I'm not murmuring. I am so thankful that you have me where I'm at, and that I know the truth. I know what we need to put to death and what we need to live." So praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Thank you, Benita. Amen. All right, George, go ahead, brother. Good to see you tonight.
There we go. I'm just to tag along with everybody else. I was just thinking that this ministry, when you know, whether you've been learning of the crucified life for 30 years, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, 2 years, it is like walking with the Lord. It's like Enoch walked with the Lord and he was no more. And when we lose ourselves in fellowship with God and understanding that we no longer live, but Christ lives through us, I have to ask myself sometimes, am I letting God love people through me? And just by not being me anymore is some of the best love I could give to the world, because me didn't have very much value, but Jesus in me is everything. And when the Bible says that we know no man after the flesh, I always apply that to not even knowing myself anymore after the flesh, because I can't even define who I am in Christ adequately, because he is so large, and he's all consuming, and he provides everything every minute of every day. And I can be the best grandfather, I can be the best husband, the best father, the best employer, the best employee, the best citizen, by getting out of the way and letting Jesus take over. And that's the only testimony that I can brag on. I can't brag on anything else, thank God. And I don't have to compare myself with other Christians, because your father is pleased with you, how he made you, and how he expresses himself through who you are in him. And I think just riding that wave of pleasure and appreciation and understanding that not only when we made Jesus our portion in this life, the more we make him our portion, the more he says we are his portion. He takes an interest in us that is so intimate and so personal that we feel his heart. He's not just filling our heart, but we're filling his. So that's all I got.
Amen. Anyone else on this? He didn't say a whole lot about Enoch, did he? Go ahead, Andrew.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. First, I'd like to thank the Lord for relieving me of some pain that I had in my mouth. It was very bad. So, thank the Lord for that. And I'm spending a lot of time in Corinthians, and there's a really wonderful example on how Paul is addressing the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians here on an example or examples that he had. And it's at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to be in the last verse there. And I think this is 5:21. It's the most quoted verse for righteousness. Him who knew no sin, he made sin on our behalf. And of course, that's the grace that we attain, that God gave to Jesus for us to have. Because Jesus got grace from God so that he could save us all. That we might, and that's our grace there, become righteousness of God in him. And at the bottom of 6, he tells us a bit about this. But 6 and 1, you know, a lot of people, sometimes they might just stop there. But when you read 6 and 1, it's a continuation. And working together with him, which would be Jesus, God in him, and we are with him, we are Christ in you, the hope of glory. We entreat also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For God saith, in an acceptable season, I hearken to thee. So he's not calling you to be saved again here. He's calling you to receive something from him. And it's still according to the grace of God. You see, it's the righteousness of God in him for you, because it's with him, with Christ, okay, and working together with Christ, we entreat also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain, for no reason. For he saith, in an acceptable season I hearken to thee, and in a day of salvation I secured thee. That's where, you know, I looked that secured up, and it was to aid you, to help you, and to relieve you. And he just finished doing that with me on my pain. And then he goes on and says, lo, now is the acceptable season. So what are we waiting for? You know, that's where, and I went, yeah, you know, now is the acceptable season. And of course, where I hearken to thee. And of course, you know, there's some really good verses. You know, he sends the Holy Spirit in his name, who's going to teach you all things and remind you what he taught you. So, now is the day of salvation. And then this is the real neat part. Giving. This next 6 and 3 is giving. That's the grace right there. Giving. No occasion of stumbling in anything, that the ministration be not blamed. And this ministration, that doesn't mean you're a minister. It means you're getting this ministry of reconciliation. That's up in the previous chapter, you know. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. And of course, is God going to blame himself for not calling you or securing you? No, he's not. We're his children. But in everything, commending ourselves as ministers of God. And then he's telling you all the different graces he gives you. It goes on from chapter, the fourth verse, all the way down to the 10th verse. Every possible thing that a person might go through that he's wrestling with, but it's him giving you the escape, giving you the relief, giving you the aid, the help, the relief for all of these things. He wants to secure you through these in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes. You know, some people, you don't get a physical stripe, but they can give you a real good tongue lashing. And it's like you're being swapped in the face sometimes. In imprisonments, you know, sometimes you're just working on something for so long to get rid of it. And it is kind of a prison when you think about it, when you're being tempted. Oh, like, leave me alone, finally, you know. And he's going to relieve that out of you. He's going to aid you and help you in that. He's going to secure, because today is the day of salvation. And of course, it goes on, and this is God the Father. This is God the Father's grace for us. And it goes on and says, because he doesn't want his ministration blamed. He doesn't want you looking bad either. He wants to secure you. He wants to be your father, and you want to be his son or daughter. And that's later on, down in the 6th chapter here. when you realize who is coming into you there, and I will dwell in them and walk. You know, it's almost like all these different items here, in stripes and imprisonments and tumults and toils and watchings. He told you to watch in Matthew 24 and Matthew 25, to watch and to be ready. You know, in fastings, in pureness, in knowledge. You know, there's the Peter who agrees with that knowledge. You know, since his divine power had given to us all things pertaining unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us. You know, and of course he's going to grace that upon you. These are all the ministrations of God for you, ministering through you, and the ministration is by securing thee and by giving you that salvation time in longings. And this is Paul talking to these Corinthians, man. They must have been really on the edge of their seat, because they were wanting to know about this grace that God gives us. You know, they're on the edge of their seat, you know. And I'm thinking, I haven't made it past chapter 7 yet. And I'm looking at these 7 chapters and I'm going, oh man, how am I going to remember all this? And you go, well, wait a minute. It's the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who's going to teach you in his name. And did he have to drown you at your baptism? So in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you're going to get reminded. And it's all these really neat things. These are all different graces that are happening with this person who's overcoming through these things. I'm going to be there in knowledge, because it's who you're with him. You know, back there in verse 1, it says, with him in that we entreat also that you don't receive not in. You know, and it's really that way sometimes with them. Why am I going, you know? Well, you know, it's grace. He's giving it to you. Sometimes, you know, you got to open the gift he's given you. And in long-suffering, in kindness, you know, in long-suffering. Yeah, you do suffer long sometimes. In kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in love unfretted. And that's unchanging. In the word of truth. No greater grace do I have than to see my children walking in truth. Is what John spoke. I think it's in 3 John, the letter. And of course, it has to be grace upon. The word of truth is grace upon you. We are abiding in Jesus, who is the name called the Word of God. And that's what they baptized you into. Not the pastor, not the denomination. And in God's power. Now, come on, that's being graced upon you here. Every one of these. And then you go, well, now we're going to go through the armor of righteousness. And then he told you up there, become the righteousness of God in him. In that first, the most quoted verse for righteousness in 5:21. And that just really makes you, what's that word for righteousness there? The other one? Oh, I'll think of it sometime. Anyway, justify. Romans 5, you know, justify. Justified by grace, you know, by faith, you know. Because, you know, you keep asking for the, and this relationship is through Christ, and it's in God, and it's of God, and it's because you know all of these are crosses too. Every last one of these cross graces here that he's functioning through this person is a cross that he overcomes. Isn't that neat? Through the armor of righteousness, you know, you're going to be asked in 7:1 to to put on some righteousness here. You know, to this is the righteousness of God we walk in. I will dwell in them and walk in righteousness on the right and on the left. So, you know, it don't matter which way you turn, you know, you're going to go with those guys on the right there. Well, you know, you're going to know what righteousness is because you're the righteousness of God in him, because he's taught you well. He's teaching you well, too. Like sometimes you might go through something and then you get a verse right after it and you go, hey, I didn't know that. I learned something because I stuck my neck out or I stuck my tongue out and started speaking. And now I got another verse that helped me, you know, and I got some testimonies about that personally, and one not too long ago through glory and dishonor. Well, of course, because you know, some will think of it as dishonor and others will think of it as glory, because whilst we are at home in the body, we are away from home in the Lord. For we walk not through faith, not through through faith, not through sight, you know. So we sometimes go through things and then we think, well, you know, I have enough now, I have it all. And then he reminds you, no, you need a lot more. and that's why we need to through glory and dishonor. So, you know, I always thought that when there's a dishonorment, you're battling, and the glory is taking it over, you know, through evil report and good report. As deceivers, well, we know we don't purposely deceive. And true, but all of these things, you know, are God's graces functioning through this person, and they are crosses too. As unknown and well known, as dying and lo we live, and of course there's a cross in that too. You can see that. As chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having not and possessing all. This is the apostle, of course, and he knows how to experience all these things. He's got 100 fruitfold. I might not be able to fully experience. Our mouths are open wide to you, Corinthians. Our hearts enlarged. You know, like, what is he getting a big heart? Does he have a medical problem there? No. His heart is being enlarged because his heart is being circumcised of all these things, because he just got the grace to overcome them all. And these are all the examples. And this is what happens to us. We go through these things a lot. And we overcome. And sometimes you may, well, the Lord didn't do something with me for a long time. Well, he's doing something, if you're thinking that. He's doing something. Someone's trying to put you in prison there, you know. You know, I will not leave you orphaned. I will come unto you, the Lord says. Ye are not straightened in us. So here's the apostle, again, not commending himself, not saying that he's the one doing these things, but ye are straightened in your affections. This is where this person's mind is, this Corinthian is, you know, the one he's addressing. This is us too, your affections. Now, for a recompense in kind, I speak as to children. Okay? And we're all at least that. Be ye also enlarged. And then he gives you example. You know, it talks about not being unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with iniquity? And of course, back up to the verse there. You know, the most quoted verse for righteousness. We might become the righteousness of God in him. And it's because of what Jesus did. And we are in him, for Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we are to receive grace with meaning, not in vanity. We're no fornicators. And it's just, you know, sometimes I got to learn how to speak English because I don't understand some of these words. You know, I have to look them up. Now, for a recompense, for a reward, I have to look that one up. Like, come on, just put reward in there. For a recompense, in kind, I speak as to children, be ye also enlarged. And to get larger means you grow up, you know, in your heart. You know, Colossians, I don't know. Let the peace of the Christ rule in your heart. So it gets large that way too. Whereunto you were called in one body. And be thankful. Thank him after you get all your answer. You know, rejoice with him. Rejoice with your father. Thank you, Father. Wow. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Well, what fellowship? Now, there's a fellowship verse on who you're supposed to have fellowship with. Have righteousness with iniquity. Who's on the right and who's on the left? And what communion? Have light with darkness. And what concord? Have Christ with Belial. Now, I don't know what Belial means. I just have an example here. Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they're Belial, you know, handsome guys, and some of the beautiful women had to leave town because of what happened. You know, they couldn't live there anymore because even Eli heard of it. And for what portion have believer with unbeliever? So we got a fellowship, a communion in common with, a concord. You know, this is a unity. A portion, which is a unity, and what agreement at God's sanctuary with idols. And then here's really living, you know. Here's what living is. For we are the living God's sanctuary. Even as God said that. So where is God really on this earth in each of his children? I will dwell in them and walk. Doesn't that go along with what he just said up there? Now is the acceptable season. Lo, now is the day of salvation. And be their God, and they shall be my people. That's living. Therefore, come out from among them, and here's another living one, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. That's living. And will be father to you. You're in his house. Well, Jesus prepared the house for you, but it's in his father's house. There are many mansions. And ye shall be to me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, I highlighted promises, I put an arrow above it, all those things above the whole chapter. You got to go all the way at least back to 5:21 for that, because he's showing you these items of grace that are also a cross. He's showing you that by the blood of the Lamb you overcome, and by the word of our testimony, that she didn't love your lives unto death. He's showing it's a grace thing. It's God's grace that he's giving you here. Beloved, having therefore these promises, beloved, let us. He's fortifying what he just said above. You know, the let us is, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Why? Because he said he's walking in you. He gave you his word. He's given you everything. He's given you your Holy Spirit. That's, you're dunked in the Holy Spirit too. We just don't know it yet. Or we know it, but we, come on now, you can't forget what your baptism was all about. You know, like, I baptize you in the name of the Father and in the Son and in the Holy Spirit. Now, who's gonna secure that? Who's gonna be the author of it? And how is he gonna get this authoritative word written upon your heart by the Spirit of God so you can have your heart circumcised with it? Not by ink or engraved in stone. And oh, thank God. Thank God, you know, he took the thing. Oh, it's, you know, it's trying to come back. It's trying to do that sizzly thing, you know. Oh, get out of here. Like, you know, like it's trying to, oh, you don't have that anger. That's, you know, and because I'm maybe explaining this, it's coming back, you know, like, well, the grace of God is near. Now, the grace of God is near. And I, some people might think I'm three fries short of a happy meal. But the Lord makes you happy. He blesses you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. I've been stuck on these seven. Oh, it was from the very first chapter of Corinthians, you know. His suffering for our comfort, and comfort for our comfort. And even though, you know, he had a problem there, you know, that he despaired there in one of the verses there, that he didn't know what to do. And then suddenly God's there. He's doing his grace now. He's showing him Titus. Here's the guy. Here's the man who lives in this geographical region for to come to you, you know. And he's going to tell you now. Look what he's telling you. Oh, no, the people are longing to see you, Paul. They want to see you. They want to hear from you. They want to hear about this grace. We didn't have any gracious gods for us. We know some people over there. They don't have those gracious God in that Middle East place that we know of. And what? You know? They suddenly have a God of grace, a God that saves, a God that every single list of these crosses are your graces, because he's gonna, what's that beautiful word, secure thee. Security, aid, help, relief. You pray, you get relief. You know, and the devils always want to make you think that the grace is not there for you, or you're not receiving it. It's for no reason. That's not why he gave you grace. That's not why he called you. I will not leave you orphan. I will come unto you. I will come unto you. All these verses are so tantalizing, you know. They're just so mighty, so gracious, so much spirit in every single one of these verses, you know. Now there was another chapter here. I just started going, like, here's the grace, you know. Here's what did I call it now? Here's the manifestation of the Spirit in this verse, you know, and it was wonderful, you know, because I was it just built you up, you know, in this Second Corinthians, you know, that it is done away in Christ, you know. This is way back in chapter 3. You know, it's done away in Christ. There's the Spirit in you. There's the Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away, you know. And then, of course, then, you know, but the now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. Now he's coming to you with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's coming to dwell in you and walk. When that finally comes to pass to the way that God wants it, then who's going to be this next person that God's going to use mightily? Now, saying all that, I write it from a paper. I'm just wanting all that to just circumcise this heart of mine, and I'm looking to the graces and the crosses to be mixed together so that I could overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And we didn't love our lives unto death. All the word works. Praise and glory to God. And I just don't want that pain coming back. Ben will be my witness. I woke up that day and he said, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "I'm nothing wrong with me." And then the next day it was gone. And I say, "Wait a minute, it's gone. It's gone." And then I thought, you know, well, why didn't he just fix it forever? You know, why didn't he just make a new one up here, you know? And, that's God's grace. That's God's cross. That's God's showing me to be an overcome by the blood of the Lamb. It's not my life, it's his life in me. And you know, some people will say, "Well, you're nuts to believe that Christ lives in you." But you know, that's what he told all them Galatians, and that's a whole province. You know, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And you were raised up with him. So he told all the Ephesians that too. And now he's telling you that you have the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. You know, sometimes you got to just translate these hymns and he's to the actual person they're talking. And it'll just open up your eyes and go, "Wait a minute." You know, sometimes you gotta even put it, you know, that's Colossians 1:27 there, you know. That's, and it's him, you know, so it's him, but I'm supposed to be in him, and I'm in him 30, 60, or 100-fold. Because I don't plan on being in those other lions. And you know, all those parables that the Lord has taught you, you read them over and over and over again. But the bad guy is not out of the church. He's in the church in most of those parables because he doesn't realize that he has to go through these graces in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. And these graces, they look like crosses, but God is securing them. God is making his righteousness upon them. You know, we have a Father. And our Father is the most righteous. We have a brother, Jesus Christ, and they touched the righteous one. And they're doing it again with us. And you'd think the devil in that day when the cross of Jesus was supposed to happen, he would have backed away. But he didn't. He doesn't know how to do that, I think. And all glory to God. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Andrew, sound like you spent a little time with the Lord today. Praise God. Go ahead, Pat. Pat, did you hear me? I said, go ahead.
Sorry, you're a little bit low.
Am I? How about now? Is that better?
I think so, yes.
Okay.
Andrew, I had a question. So I was kind of in thought when I was listening to you talking, and I kind of drifted off into another area there, but You mentioned that the Lord took something away from you, and Ben came in and said, "What's wrong?" You know, what did the Lord take away from you?
Well, I've had problems with my teeth, and it's painful sometimes. And He took it and relieved me of this pain, when I have more than one, but you know, I chew gum sometimes, and like you can put the whole gum in that spot, you know, and it still has the tooth around, but in the center, it's opened, and pieces of my left side here has already come out, you know, and pieces, and each piece is it's not a big molar; it's between the molars. The Lord has relieved it, you know, and that's why I sometimes wonder, well, why didn't the Lord just replace it, you know, and put a new tooth in there, you know? And, but, you know, I don't know, like people have always been to dentists and you've had pain in the mouth for teeth and stuff, and it's really excruciating sometimes. And, the Lord knows and sees everything. And I thank the Lord for taking care of me. And I want him to take care of me with everything, you know. I see people in such great need, you know, on YouTube. Some of them are so lost, you know. And some of them are actually even making it hard for Christians who can probably even help that person, and they're speaking as if they were a Christian, you know? They're talking to the police officers that way and stuff, and it's just a sad event, you know, and it's not, it's, you'd think it would only be like people in their early 20s, but the other day I heard over, I was overhearing something, and this guy was 46 years old, and I'm going, what, you know? And I met, and you know, there was two people there, you know, in their early 40s. They were behaving like they were in high school, you know, arguing in the, about where a car is parked, you know, and because why don't you park your car and go into the mall instead of waiting on the side of the sidewalk here? Anyway, and it's a woman with a guy, you know, and of course, you know, the accents of some people's languages are there too. So, you know, it's heartening, and you can sense the spirit coming off of these people near you, trying to even make perhaps get into you, you know, while the argument's going on. When it's live, when I went for my walk, it's worse than when it's on YouTube. But, you know, I'm not saying that people should watch it, but there's some real things we have to get ready for. You know, and what's on these people's minds, you know? Set your mind on things above and not on things upon the earth. And of course, I don't know if the people are just not reading their Bibles or not interested or are in a daze or perhaps going through one of these crosses that are supposed to be your graces too, because the eventual time to overcome has to come. And of course, you know, we have these things that we wait on the Lord for too. It's fascinating on how he lives in us. I will dwell in them and walk and be their God, and they shall be my people. You know, those I started putting a red dot by all those verses that what really living is, you know, in the end of chapter 6 there, you know, I put the red dot there, for we are the living God's sanctuary, even as God said that. That's living. And I will dwell in them and walk. Come on. And no greater grace do I have than to see my children walking in the truth. And that was one of the graces there in the beginning of six, too, the truth there. And it appears as a cross, but it's also appearing as you're securing your aid, your help, your relief. And we've experienced that. And I sometimes wonder if the Lord's saying, look, you know, you're in a wilderness and I'm saving you so many times. And we know the story about the Moses wilderness, you know. And I think sometimes even as a father, we sometimes tend to forget what real fatherhood's all about, you know. But it's so easy to remember, you know, especially like if your mom ironed your pajamas for you, you know. The sheets were all washed and nice pressed, the bed was made, and you go take a bath, you get in your bed, and you get conked out and say, ah, nice smell. I can still smell the fresh pillowcases on the bed. Oh, Mom sure does it nice, and you're out like a lace. She might even give you some warm milk that night with a spoon of honey in it or something. I don't know. These remedies they had, you know. They were just really trying to knock you out so that they can get on with the rest of their hour and a half a piece, I think, or whatever it was. So, it's a similar, you know, I will not leave you orphaned, I will come unto you. I believe that's a verse somewhere. Yeah, it's there. And, we have to be always on guard and remember that God is with us. And, you know, I speak from, I had that one. Oh, you didn't do something with me for such a long time, you know. There's the guy, you know. He's trying to put me in prison again, you know. And then grace has to come. Oh, you know, what, blah, blah, blah. I think that's the way David put it, you know. Here he goes again, you know. And praise and glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for defending us and securing us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Go ahead, Patrick.
So,
I just want to say, you know, now he's given me ability to speak even, you know. Like sometimes he'll just say, oh, that's it. You're going to shut your mouth today. I'm not saying anything, Pat, okay? I love listening to you, so praise God.
Well, first of all, let's knock this out of the way. Just immediately when I thought of it is that the Lord has commanded us to lay hands on the sick and heal the sick, and that's a commandment from the Lord for us. So in the name of Jesus, I command those teeth in Andrew to be healed in Jesus' name and to be restored as perfect and complete in Jesus' name. I was thinking about these things. I have been on a healing a healing investigation, and has led me down some various paths. One of those paths of today is that I literally have nothing, and so before I even start on that, I know you can hear my voice, that I it picked up a cold or whatever over the Christmas holiday here or whatever. So, and I rebuked that, and that is some of the same struggles that I believe that Andrew and every one of us are going through right now. And with my struggle, it is, you're standing, you're in a place of weakness, obvious weakness, and yet God has commanded you to lay hands on the sick, and they will be healed. He's commanded us to go out and make disciples, to teach them everything that the Lord taught the original disciples. He's told commanded us to raise the dead. Now, I have to say that would be a battle, should that come up in my life. That would be a battle of faith for me right now. I'm gonna say that. But I'll also say that I will overcome in Christ's name. But he has, and I'm listening to, everybody's talking about the struggles that we're going through, and just the verse that Andrew started with there in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf, that we might. And right there in those three words right there, those are the catch. Those are the three words that shift, I won't say shift the responsibility, but I will say it's the entrance of my participation and our participation. That, Jesus did it all, accomplished it all at the cross, and accomplished it that we might. And then that we might, there is a that infers that there is a possible success or possible failure. And so that's where the struggle becomes, or that's where we enter into that struggle, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And I was, listening through Romans today as I was on my way to work. Because I woke up this morning with this verse on my mind, and it was because of the verses where the Lord is basically commanding us, or telling us that this salvation, which Andrew was speaking about in those verses in 2 Corinthians 6, this salvation is in my mouth and in my heart. That is the word of faith which we preached, Romans 10:8. Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And that, I believe that completion of the work that salvation has already obtained or procured in our heart, in our spirit, it is with, obviously, with the mouth that that salvation is completed. And so when I was thinking about that process, it became, it's always been obvious, and excuse me, that I don't understand the actual mechanics of how that happens. And I don't know if I, I know that the Lord has always motivated me to focus on the details. The clearer you are in specific details and specific information, the easier it is. And I'm taking this from a carpentry standpoint or a building standpoint. The details, the lengths, the inches of, or how thick something is, or the specific details of a product are absolutely important when you're going, when you're building and constructing, say, a house or a building of some sort, because all these parts go together, and they have to come together smoothly, and to create the effect that you envision in your mind. So, and you can't just say to a carpenter, "Well, just build me five steps over there, and I want it to go up here and up over to there and up to there, and make it look pretty, And if that's the level of detail that you're going to give that person, you're going to have an end result that is completely what he defines as pretty, how high each step would be, this or that. It's all going to come from his mind or her mind or whoever it is that you're giving direction to. So if you want something with a step that's 5 inches high and 10 inches deep, you have to put that on a piece of paper and draw a little picture and say 5 inches and 10 inches here. And that gives an incredible amount of clarity to that carpenter. And he can, if you have those types of details, he can figure out the rest and make it look like what you want it to look like. So why I got to that, I don't know. But the bottom line is, when it comes to healing, God has certainly given us tools to use, but I don't think anyone knows how God actually heals leukemia or heals cancer or restores vision or heals hearing, restores teeth, restores a blood circulation. I don't think we understand the actual mechanics of how that's done. But we do have what God has given us to use as a set of tools in order to make it happen. And that is what I'd said before that the Lord has been working with me on. And that is speaking, confessing with our mouth, and excuse me, commanding it into existence, agreeing with God. This morning, as I was thinking about this, I went to Genesis chapter 1 and just reread that chapter. And if you look at all of the places in that chapter where God is creating our world, you will be astounded if you just start to look, and you'll start to pick out all the places where it says verse 3, and God said, let there be light. Verse 4, 5, and God called the light day and the darkness night. That's where it started. God called it. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament. And it was so. How did he do that? Who knows? Nobody knows. But I do know that he started it with those words. That's how it came into being. Verse 8, and God called. Verse 9, and God said. Verse 10, and God called. Verse 11, and God said. And verse 14, and God said, and all the way down here, verse 20, and God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures. Who knows how he did that? But the very first act that he did in order to make it happen was he spoke it into existence. Verse 22, God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Genesis 1:24, and God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures. Verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image. Let them have dominion over the sea, over the birds, over the heavens, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God created man in his own image. And verse 28, God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb yielding seed, etc., etc., all the way through. God said, God said. So it just hit me that, we may not ever know the specifics of how God does these things. We may always be limited to the fact that we simply are only the closest we're going to get to it is simply to learn to speak what God speaks. And if we can speak what God speaks, we're going to be able to expect the same results. So I and believe it or not, I'm sure most of us are starting to believe it and starting to come into that understanding or perspective. That's certainly, I don't know if maybe I'm speaking to myself here, which I probably am. That is the most difficult thing to do. Now, I don't know if that's something in me. I'm sure there's something else in me that needs to be dead and needs to come alive in me in order to fluently, obediently, submissively, lovingly speak forth his word into every situation that I'm in. And so that is a prayer of mine. And so I would kind of like to end this. What I'm saying here is in that in a little prayer for myself for that benefit and maybe for somebody else if that's the case. Father, I just pray for myself right now in the name of Jesus. I break every restriction that I have perceived that is upon my mouth, my being able to speak freely your word, your truth, your promises, my faith. I break any restriction, any words that were spoken or that I perceived were spoken and to me that were designed to restrict my speaking forth in agreement with your promises for my family, for my life, for everything that I'm seeking for you, healings, and every other benefit that you provide to us through the power of the Holy Spirit and compliance to your word and submission to your word. And we thank you for it. I thank you for it. I thank you for removing those restrictions, Lord, that I have seen and understood, and even those that I have that are self-imposed upon my life. I remove them in the name of Jesus Christ, and I put forth my eyes upon you, and I thank you for your deliverance. That song that we listened to earlier, Adonai, my deliverer, our deliverer. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Nick. Go ahead, bud.
I just wanted to pray for tomorrow night for me and my mom's safety over this event.
All right,
So,
go ahead.
dear Heavenly Father, we just pray for our safety and fun and stuff for just your protection over us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord, we put our faith together with Dick, and he's going to go safely and come back safely. In Jesus' name. All right. Anybody else? I did want to mention one thing. You know, it says Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. It doesn't say that Enoch preached the gospel and brought millions into the kingdom. It doesn't say that he had a big church. All it says was that he walked with God and he was not. Sounds to me like heaven wanted him up there more than they wanted him down there, down here. They loved him. Yeah, Missy.
I mean, I don't know. It's been a long time since I've heard a discussion about this before of Enoch. So, but what comes to my mind from either what the Lord has shown me or I've heard other people speak or whatever, is that Enoch walked with God and was not. Well, he had no self. He lived with God. He lived in the heavenlies, is my thought. You know, so God took him to literally be there with him. There was no self of him. You know,
He
if you
spent
walk
all
with.
his time with the Lord, didn't he? Yeah. Y'all can just go ahead and jump in there, Andrew. This is free for all.
I seem to remember that Enoch made it to 365 years. That's 1 year for every day in a year.
Yeah.
So that's how much he walked with God every day in his years.
That's an awesome testimony. They didn't talk anything about that other.
Makes you kind of wonder, like what it says there. I will dwell in them and walk. Can two walk together lest they agree? And Enoch walked with God. And so did Adam.
Sounds like heaven couldn't wait to have him there with them. Praise God. That's what we want to, but we want to do it like this. Lord, that's what I want tomorrow. But you have to do like he did. Golly. I'm getting excited about what's coming because people are starting to wake up, it looks like. Praise God. Anybody else? The only thing that Enoch had was that daily walk intimate walk with the Lord, right? That's all he had, but that was enough to get him taken in, taken up there. Praise God. Yeah, Andrew. That's more than enough, actually.
No, like in this chapter 6 that I read here, it's kind of like a journey too that these people, he's telling them what their journey is and some of the things that they may have already experienced. Of course, he's very good at the way he speaks here, because he's going into great detail on all these different graces that are even crosses in these verses here, and how you get to be enlarged by being around people who are enlarged, and having fellowship with the one body, the one spirit of all the people here. And to walk means you need a journey, walk with God. And of course there's the wilderness journey, and there she's showing you the wilderness journey here. He's showing you the experience that these Corinthians having to do, what they must do, what they must have. How their hearts must be circumcised by the Spirit of God. And for them to be this epistle known and read of all men in their actions, in their walk, in their journey, in their lives, in living, in overcoming by the blood of the Lamb. Or even like John said, for whatsoever overcometh the world, not whosoever, but whatsoever overcometh the world is born of God. And you know, to have that love in you, and that, you know, when you go to Hebrews 2, and because I read that too, you know, because I was reading this, and I said, I got to go read Hebrews 2, but, 2 and 3 again, maybe 4, to get the walk down, you know, and to know how I'm supposed to walk together with the one who's walking in me. You know, the footprints, I don't know if anyone has that problem. You know, that, oh, that's when I picked you up, because you weren't walking right anymore. You know, somebody tripped you, you know. The devil's trying to trip us up a lot, and also, yeah, sometimes you get hurt real bad, and the Lord has to carry you for a while. And I just, so many different walking verses, you know, walk in the light. And of course, there's the all with an unveiled face behold in the mirror, the glory of the Lord. And we want to walk in that glory, but by faith, not by sight, as is even mentioned here, you know, that it's by faith and not by sight. And it's just wondrous on how the Lord will we can't get ahead of him. We have to follow him. We have to walk with the Lord. But he's always going before us, just like the song says. It's a wonderful worship song. I go before you always. Come follow me. So he's really showing us how to walk this journey. In our, some of us have walked for many years in this journey, and all the things that you've experienced is just the way these Corinthians really wanted to know about this grace. And he says that they gave themselves to the Lord and to these apostles, but for the grace, the sake of the grace, and to know how it works, to know how it is accomplished, to experience, to for it to appear when it needs to be appeared, for it to be active, the Word of God to be active and appear in us and shine in us and manifest in us. And then when it happens, you go, wow. You just like, you always want to be in the zone, I think. It's in the zoom of the zone. Anyway, praise God.
Amen. Okay, I've got a prayer request here that we, let me see if I can find it. Need to pray about for Joe. Okay. Joe says he would like prayer tonight for this newest set of work-related trials that are soon to come with being on first shift and being with a newer operator that I have never really worked with that much. Joe says this operator is one known to be not easy to get along with. Many don't like him, so he asked me to pray for him about that tonight. Okay, well, we're going to pray for Joe. Lord, we just ask and we pray that you place it in Joe's heart to not confess the bad confession, confess the good confession, that he's going to get along with everybody. He's going to have the love of Christ in his heart, and he's going to be the ideal Jesus in that factory. And I praise you, and I thank you, Lord, for doing that for Joe. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that he would pray before he goes in there, placing in his heart to pray before he goes to work, that nothing, absolutely nothing, is going to interrupt his commune with you, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you for doing that for Joe. All right, Julie, did you have, you want to pray too? Okay, go ahead.
Heavenly Father, thank you for Joe and thank you, Lord, for making him who he's supposed to be in Christ Jesus. Lord, we ask for your favor with Joe there. And Lord, you put it in his heart to remember your word. And these things always helped me when I was working for my employers, is to work as if I was serving you, is to work as unto you, Lord, and have no respect of person, and to humble myself, Lord. May I pray that you would give grace to Joe to humble himself and just to do his job, to do it as unto you, and do whatever is asked of him without complaining, without murmuring, without arguing, or whatever. We all have their sin nature we got to overcome, Lord, and just to do it with a willing heart, that you put that in him, that you help him to see this as an opportunity for him to grow and mature, and you see that he'll see this as an opportunity for him to just to walk as you walk, Lord, and to rely upon your strength, to rely upon your leading, to rely upon your ability to help him every day, because we can't do it of ourselves. And I thank you, Lord, for giving him faith that you're going to see him through these things, Lord. And I know I used to hate change, and changes at work, changes in different things, and that was something that I didn't do well in, but I overcame in that, and just, okay, this is the new changes they're making, whatever that may be. So help Joe to accept this and embrace this change as something good and is not bad. And we just cast down all the word curses and slander and the bad report about this supervisor, because people have a tendency to do that. They don't like somebody, or they're hard to work for because of personality or whatever. And I just thank you, Lord, that you're going to show favor there with our brother Joe, and that they might actually have something in common. I also pray, Lord, that Joe not get out ahead of you in any way, and just try to get into any kind of preaching or sharing Christ right away, that he just be humble, and that your love and your light in him would be enough, and that you would lead him, Lord, in anything he does or shares Christ with anybody. Lord, I pray that for all of us, Lord, that we don't get out ahead of you and try to force our faith or what we think or what we believe on people. Lord, that you open doors when it's time and when it's the right people and the right opportunities, God. And just pray blessings on Joe, and that he's going to do well there. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Father God, I just pray for all of us now. I lift all of us up to you, Father God, to place it in our hearts to walk with you every day, all day. And Father, to let no distractions interfere with our walk with you. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for your word that shows us how to be like you, to love like you, to do all the things that you have asked us to do, Lord. And I thank you for it. We're going to see an awesome change, Lord. We've allowed distractions to get in our lives. We can sit down with the Bible and or just sit down and just start talking to you, Father. And the first thing that happens is something comes up from my, well, I got to go take care of this, and then I'll come back. It never happens. Father God, I just ask and I pray that you place it in our heart. Give us a heart for you, Lord. And I thank you for doing that. And I pray, Father God, that this is going to be a day that changes our lives completely, because we're going to walk like Enoch walked. Completely with you, Lord, starting in the mornings, praising you and thanking you for waking us up, and then just talk to you all day long, carry you with us, or you already are with us. All we need to do is just converse with you. And Father God, we thank you for that intimate relationship. you are establishing in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, Lord, that we would be guided by your very voice every day, every time that we needed to do something. That it wouldn't be our decision, it would be your decision. And we praise you, and we thank you for that, Father. I thank you, Lord, for these wonderful words and your word, Lord, that teaches us the things that we need to know. Praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in us, and I thank you for this wonderful time coming up where there's going to be this great revival across the world to get people out of the apostate churches into a place where they want nothing but you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. Anybody else? We got 3 minutes left. Yes, Patrick, go ahead.
You know, it comes to mind, it's interesting that the theme of our meetings, our discipleship, our is exactly that, walking with the Lord. How do you walk with the Lord? How do you be like the Lord? How do you do that? Well, there's it in, and if we don't, you know, if we don't learn, if we have been deceived in some form or another, thinking that it is not important or significant or it's optional, then we're not going to be prepared to live through every potential environment, every potential obstacle that should come our way in the future. When, you know, the economy goes south and this whole structure collapses, and I know that sounds like doom and gloom, we have the ability to trust, depend, and not only just that, trust the Lord, cliched statement that is, you know, many times made in the, you know, religious circles, but it's a connection of dependence and confidence that God is going to provide everything we are going to need for that this coming time. One of those things that I think about, those deceptions, is that the pre-tribulation rapture type thing. God's going to pull us out of here before the bad stuff starts, you know, and God, you know, has just greatly blessed my life. I've spoken about it before, about reading Fox's books, Book of Martyrs, and realizing that God's life was there to overcome, even in the face of death, and even through death, these people conquered, and they had that life eternal functioning in them, that they were able to raise their hands in the midst of that fire, and it did not, and they were alive, and that fire did not kill them. They were alive. God chose that way to take them out, but left a testimony of it, splattered on the pages of that book, all the way through that book. So, and it is that life that will take us through everything that's coming our way. And if we are not seeking out daily how to transform for our dependence upon his life like that, we're not going to be prepared for what's coming. So anyway, I guess that's all I wanted to say.
Okay, thank you, Patrick. Well, we're out of time. Thank you, Lord, for an awesome time tonight. Yeah, Nick, go ahead. I'll let you go ahead.
If you're wondering what that picture is in the background of me, that's my old manager that we just retired this year.
Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. He's a good guy, huh?
Yeah, he was real nice.
Okay, great. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being with Nick wherever he goes, and all of us too, in Jesus' name. Well, y'all be blessed, you hear?